Some of the content of the Double Minor Hockey Podcast might not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I don't know. I'm speechless. Yeah, this is just amazing.
Bonjour, Montreal. You're Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I'm so excited to be drafted by Montreal. I can't wait that I can see you guys. Merci.
It feels unbelievable. I mean, it's a dream come true, and I can't really put it into words right now. I mean, I still can't believe it. Watching it as a kid growing up is just something you dream about, and to have it become a reality is so real, and yeah, it still hasn't sunk in yet.
For the city, this season means one thing: playoffs.
The vibes in the city, the buzz in the city, everyone is just so happy about that it's playoff time. Everyone's so passionate, and that trickles into our room.
The Montreal Canadiens means everything. In the playoff, the passion of our fans and the city really gets behind the Canadiens, and you could feel it.
The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
It's not only winning for winning, it's what it represents to the fans, the organization, the players. It means so much to the people that are supporting the Montreal Canadiens.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Season 1, Episode 36 of the Double Minor Hockey Podcast for Friday, October 2nd, 2020. Welcome to October. Normally would be the start of the NHL regular season, but it is, in fact, we are less than a week, a couple of days away from the NHL entry draft. We're about a week away from NHL free agency opening up. So Lambros, you and I have a lot of actually hockey things to talk about, getting ready for the draft, getting ready for NHL free agency. So let's just jump right into that right off the top of the show. Not long after you and I recorded last week, Marc Bergevin making news, announcing that the Montreal Canadiens have signed Jeff Petrie to a four-year contract extension with an average annual value of $6.25 million. He only gets a $750,000 raise on a yearly salary. Thoughts on that contract?
My initial reaction
to that was, what was my text to you?
I love this contract.
Yeah.
Those were Josh's exact words. And I agree with him. I think it was a fantastic deal that the Canadiens gave him. And like I said to you, I think honestly, it's a lower AAV because of probably the fourth year given to him. I think the term was much more important to Jeff Petrie and his family than, for example, the AAV itself. So I'm very happy with this. I think Jeff Petrie well deserves this.
Takes less money to stay in Montreal at the end of the day.
Takes less money. He's an important player for this team. I know Marc Bergevin believes that as well. And it was a big priority to have him re-signed. I think if we were to make like an internal like ranking of who the Canadiens had to re-sign, or our ideas of who they should have re-signed immediately, probably the first one should have been Jeff Petrie, no matter what. So
I mean, it's no shock to say that if Jeff Petrie had hit market next July 1st, or whenever free agency would start next season, he would have made upwards of $7 million easy.
Of course. Absolutely. I think he wouldn't have gotten his term, but
I think you could have seen Jeff Petrie take $7.5 million
easily
in that range.
Easily, yeah.
And he takes a fair amount of money less to stay in Montreal. You're probably right. Montreal gave him the fourth year, and I don't know if he might have gotten that on free agency, but if there were a bidding war, he might have been able to get that fourth year. But at the end of the day, he values staying in Montreal, takes less money to do so, and really helps ensure that the Canadiens aren't going to turn into an absolute dumpster fire on the right side of the defensive core next offseason, right?
Because exactly.
If you remove Jeff Petrie, I don't know if the Canadiens are in a position to be able to replace that player right away, and that would be very detrimental to the success and well-being of this organization. Not that there has been much success and well-being in years past, but keeping Jeff Petrie helps the Montreal Canadiens continue to build forward and hopefully continue to build a winning team.
Of course, I think we were talking about it, and we said that unless the Canadiens went out and got a guy off the top of our head, we were talking about it often, a guy like Matt Dumba, during this off season or whatnot, we could have seen that maybe the writing was on the wall for Jeff Petrie. But I think Marc Bergevin really covets him. I think his playoffs this year were, he was probably the Canadiens' best defenseman amongst from beginning to end.
Two of the best players of the Montreal Canadiens throughout the playoffs were defensemen.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good contract. It's good to have a guy like Jeff Petrie back for basically five more seasons. And I'm excited for it. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the Canadiens getting him on a very cheap contract. And it's in a way we can agree that maybe a few years down the road, if the Canadiens are still struggling, it's a very tradable contract as well. You know, he still has a lot of value. He's a guy that seems to get better as he gets older, which is pretty good for the Canadiens. Hopefully he continues to play that way, and well deserved. I think that's all we can say about this contract for Petrie.
I think it would be fair to assume, and you know, information has been coming out as of the last couple of days that Brendan Gallagher is probably the next one to get a contract extension. Marc Bergevin is saying in an interview on TSN 690 and in multiple other instances that signing Brendan Gallagher to that contract extension is a top priority for the team this offseason. And Brendan Gallagher's agent has also come out and said that they are working very hard to do so in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I think the writing
would be another very big move for the Montreal Canadiens in terms of not losing that player, right?
I think it was pretty obvious that we can agree Petrie and Gallagher were probably the two biggest priorities for the Canadiens to re-sign prior to free agency next year. We spoke about a little bit about Tatar and Danault probably being worth considering re-signing, but I think you see how valuable Jeff Petrie is to that defense, and you see how valuable Brendan Gallagher is as a whole for the Canadiens. And he's a guy that deserves a contract extension. He's a guy that deserves to presumably retire as a Montreal Canadiens, playing with them his entire career. It's pretty obvious that this is a guy that is not going to go anywhere. And the fact that it's been very vocal throughout the media, whether it's from Marc Bergevin, whether it's from Gallagher's agent, you realize that a deal is going to come soon, and it's probably going to come before free agency even starts. So I'm not really worried about that. But again, I'm not surprised to say that Brendan Gallagher is next in line to get a long-term extension with the Canadiens.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to briefly go over your initial thoughts on the conversation that was Marc Bergevin and Tony Marinaro on TSN 690 earlier this week? Because that was quite something.
Honestly, there was only one thing that really stood out to me with that interview. I mean, there was a lot of questions that Tony Marinaro was asking Marc Bergevin, but I was just nodding my head in confusion because of the types of questions he was asking him. One of them being the ask him about Jonathan Drouin and the Mikhail Sergachev trade. Basically, Tony Marinaro was condemning and not criticizing, but saying that out of all the trades Marc Bergevin has made, that's probably the one that he might regret the most.
Well, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Don't get me wrong. He's not wrong. But you're never going to have a GM shit on a player. Yeah, come out and say shit on a player.
Especially a player that's still on his team.
And listen, Bergevin did say he's not happy with what Jonathan Drouin has done so far. He knows there should be more that he should be doing as a player, but he's not, like I said, he's not gonna basically say, yeah, you know what, that's probably my worst trade possible and fuck Jonathan Drouin and, you know, all that stuff. He's not gonna come out and say that. Maybe when he leaves or whatnot, he might go out and say that, but I doubt it right now. But the one thing that really stood out to me was regarding the potential, well, the upcoming offseason and the draft itself, to which Mark Bergevin said, "I'm willing to trade anyone for immediate help, as even as of tonight." To me, and I wrote this down on the outline so even Josh could see this.
Did he say anyone?
I mean, Tony basically asked him, "Are you willing to trade young assets and draft picks for immediate help?" And he said, "Yes."
Yeah.
And Tony said at the draft, and Tony and Mark, this interview was done on Tuesday, he'd say, "Even tonight, if I have to." Which I think for you and I, which we've coveted and we've watched and we've seen the Canadiens for a while.
You mean we're done shopping at Bargain Barn?
Not only that, but I think it's a different approach because we've never heard Mark Bergevin say anything to that effect. You know, when it came to trading first-round picks, I think he always said we're going to trading young assets, trading draft picks. He always said we're going to build through the draft and our young kids. But for the first time in 8 years, we can honestly say that he's willing to trade those young assets and he's willing to trade those draft picks.
Well, that's probably because he realizes that his team's not good enough and his window is closing.
Oh, of course.
And we have to do something at some point.
Absolutely. The only thing, listen, I give, I'm happy that he's taking,
realizing that.
Regardless of how long it's taken, I'm glad that he's finally realizing it. And for Canadiens fans and for the team itself, it could be a huge step in the right direction. You know, I'm pretty much guaranteed that Mark is not going to go and trade young assets to get a 31-year-old forward. That's not my impression here. But do I see them going after someone a little younger, someone still in their 20s, who has produced on a consistent basis year in and year out? Maybe. I'm not saying that they're going to trade a first-round pick. I'm not saying they're going to trade any of their young assets. But the fact that he said, "I'm willing to do it," is a completely different stance on, for example, last year, where they had a pick in the similar position. Mind you, if you said that last year, they could have been in a better position because of the fact they finished with a point shy of making the playoffs. But I guess this year, it's one year less of the window being open. I think he's going to be as aggressive as they come this year.
Yeah, I would tend to agree.
So hopefully it happens.
Now,
Josh, I want to do some fireworks this year.
What would that aggressivity look like to you?
I have no problem trading a first round pick, a roster. I have no problem them trading guys like their 16th pick, a guy like Cole Caulfield. Obviously depends on who they acquire in return. Even a guy like Tom Sitar. I'm just spitting names out there just for the sake of it. Even Philip Danault. Guys like that who I think have value, but are definitely easily replaced.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it. I'm not criticizing Tatar as a hockey player or how Danault plays, but given the state of the Canadiens, Philip Danault, for example, could be replaced by Max Domi on the third line or Kokaniemi, whoever it may be. So you have depth at the center position. If Max Domi is very adamant on playing center, which he is. Thomas Tatar, you still got Jonathan Drouin. Are you able to replace Tatar at the left wing position via trade, via free agency? Absolutely. But if Thomas Tatar, if Philip Danault, if that 16th pick, if Cole Caulfield are able to get you what the Habs require, which is bigger wingers, then yeah, I'm all for it. That's being aggressive. That's saying I'm willing to make the necessary moves and I'm willing to trade whoever to get the player I'm targeting. You know, I know you were getting a lot of heat, Josh, because of your tweet about Bargain Barn. And the only thing I'll say about that is, and this is, and correct me if I'm wrong based on your approach, the Canadiens need to start targeting guys that are on the upper echelon of talent.
That's exactly what that is. And
because I can sit here and say, I can list you more players that the Canadiens have signed and that have acquired that were more quote-unquote bargains, from Mark Streit, Alex Shemsky, Alexander Semin, When they acquired P.A. Parento, not a criticism of P.A. Parento, he had a good season in Colorado, but P.A. Parento was not a top six forward.
Yeah.
For sake of argument. You know, P.A. Parento was like Matt Molson. John Tavares helped him become a very good hockey player. But instead, they should start targeting guys that, in a way, at one point we were saying we can only dream of them coming to Montreal. You know, you have the necessary firepower and ammunition to acquire these players. Why not do it? I'm not saying to trade Suzuki, Kokanyemi, Romanov to get Patrick Laine. You could definitely make a move to get a guy like Laine without giving up those three players, if that's what you want to build your team around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I like Cole Caulfield? Absolutely. And I think Cole Caulfield's going to be a hell of a hockey player. But if Cole Caulfield is included in a package, and again, we're just going hypothetically, to get a Patrick Laine or someone of that caliber around the same age as well, I'm definitely going to make that trade because I'm getting an established goal-scoring big winger. That's the difference here. It's not because I'm worried about Cole Caulfield's as a player. I'm worried about the fact that Cole Caulfield's not going to be in the NHL for another three seasons. When he's 21, 22, that's including 1 year, whether it's in the NCAA or Europe, that's 1 year in the American Hockey League, and then in that third year is when he makes it to the NHL, if we're going according to proper development. Is Mark Bergevin willing to waste another 3 years to wait on Cole Caulfield?
Shea Weber will be 38.
Shea Weber
Jeff
will be 38.
Will be 35.
And Carey Price will 36. Be 36. Is that really worth it? Not to me, no. If his stance is to win now, but also build for the future, might as well get someone who is around the age of Suzuki and Kotkaniemi, who's around, let's say, 22 to 25. Give up the price to get that player. And that way, not only are you helping your team win in the present, but
you're not boggling down acquiring a 29-year-old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not being strapped for a couple of seasons. You know, getting a 22 to 25-year-old, you have that player on your roster for the next five, seven years.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully, if all pans out and if hopefully this player continues to produce at that level. But the point is, that's what they should be targeting.
And that's all I've been saying when I've used my new favorite catchphrase is stop shopping at bargain burn.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's at some point, and I do hate to be the one to constantly tell you Habs fans this, because apparently from my Twitter mentions in the last 24 hours, some of you still don't get it. At some point soon, this team is going to need talent. Because let's growing with the youth, absolutely, that's great and all that. Let's not take away from the fact that this team has only made the playoffs 4 out of the last 5 years. And I'm counting this year because they should not have been anywhere near a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They were not anywhere near a playoff spot. They should have been drafting top 10.
Mm-hmm.
But then COVID Cup came around and they decided to include a shit ton of hockey teams.
Yeah.
So at some point, like just like, okay, the addition of Joel Edmondson, that's a good addition. 27 years old, he's a good defenseman, that's fine. Who's going to score goals for this team?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Who is going to score goals? Jonathan Drouin is not doing it. Thomas Tatar is more of a playmaker than a goal scorer. Brendan Gallagher will give you his 25 goals a year. Paul Byron is no longer a 20-goal scorer. Philip Dano cannot do that unless he's playing with your best players, okay? Jesperi Kotkaniemi is a passer, not a goal scorer. Nick Suzuki, okay. Nick Suzuki will give you what, 20 goals?
Mm-hmm.
25 maybe? Hopefully more, but you don't, like, can you really bank on that? And can you only rely on 3 to 4 20-goal scorers? At some point, you need someone that's going to score 30,
mm-hmm.
35. Because all these players that we have here have combined to put on the ice an abysmal power play. A goal scorer should be able to help you with that.
Absolutely.
And so my statement in stopping bargain barn shopping is stop trying to find that under the radar draft or that under the radar trade or signing that, you know, will come out and be a good hockey player for you. Like the Joel Armia trade. That was a good trade.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by shopping at bargain barn. Okay. You gave up Simon Bork and a 6th round draft pick to get him and the and buy out
Steve Mason.
Okay, like can we maybe go out and do something more than that? Like don't look any further than when the St. Louis Blues traded for Braden Schenn.
Mm-hmm.
The package that the St. Louis Blues gave to Philadelphia, Montreal could have been able to make a package like that.
What was the package? I forgot.
It was a 1st round draft pick. I don't remember exactly now. I'm gonna go look.
I'll go check it out. Give me a second. Continue your thought, Josh.
It's like I look at trades that have happened the last few years. Montreal has the assets to do that, and they've had the assets to do that, and they need to take part in player and talent acquisition.
Okay, so just to cut, it was Yuri Laterra, mm-hmm. A 1st round pick in 2017, and then a conditional 1st in 2018.
Are you telling me we couldn't have done something like that?
Yeah, something along the
lines. Yuri Laterra!
You could have given a better player than Laterra and not given up a conditional 1st.
Well, you could have given up a prospect instead of 2 firsts, right? You could have given up a first,
yes,
prospect. And fucking Yuri Laterra, he's equivalent to what? Paul Byron?
Oh, I no.
Even if not less than that?
My, he's not even in the NHL anymore.
Exactly.
John.
Like that's what like I remember at the day that trade was made, I was flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
Like at some point, can we start adding talent? The San Jose Sharks traded a 1st round draft pick for Evander Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Evander Kane them, right? has his, and once they, it was originally a 2nd with conditional 2nd. If they re-signed him, it was a 1st. Okay. And I get it. Evander Kane has his off ice issues and all that, and all that. So, like, but my point is players get traded, wingers get traded. Okay. We've heard for 10 years how hard it is to acquire a centerman. But year in and year out, wingers get traded. And year in and year out, Montreal is stuck there playing musical chairs, and they fall on their ass when they run out of chairs to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
I really was hoping I got that game right because my mind wasn't thinking.
You got it. It's okay.
you know what I mean. At some point, can we be involved in something like this, right? It's just kind of like I go back. Like I still go back as a fan of the Ottawa Senators. I do not understand how Mark Bergevin was not all in on Mark Stone.
Yeah.
So what if it costs you Alex Romanov?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark Stone is one of the best wingers in the game. And I get it. Vegas has taken a lot of chances. They've sacrificed a lot of future assets. They've been a good hockey team. Now, maybe you don't want to do that. I get that. Maybe you don't trade everybody. Maybe you don't make 2 or 3 trades that sacrifice futures. But you can at least make 1.
Show that aggression.
Show that aggression. Lambros, at this point, I'm starting to think that they're dead. Show me sign of life. Show me that you want to win hockey games. Show me that you're trying to do more than just scrape and claw and crawl all your way into the playoffs at the 8th seed, get your ass handed to you in the 1st or 2nd round, and say, well, we tried. And, you know, once you're in, anything can happen. Fuck off, anything can happen. How many times in the last 20 years has the 8th seed won the Stanley Cup? The only one that comes to mind is the Los Angeles Kings.
And they had a stacked hockey
And that team. Was not a regular eighth seed, okay?
That was one on steroids.
That was like...
Holy shit, that was a good
team.
That
was bad coaching, right? And once they brought in Daryl Sutter, that team became what that team should have been all along.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I don't know Lambros. I can't off the top of my head think of an eighth seed that did anything in the playoffs.
Nothing. I don't know if the Oilers were an eighth seed and made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm not 100% certain on that.
But even then, we're talking pre-lockout, right? That's a different game, but I get it. I said 20 years.
Oh, it's post-lockout. 2006, Josh. Lockout was in 04-05.
Are you sure that was 2006? No, Tampa Bay won the Cup in 2004.
Yeah, and then 04-05 was the lockout, and then Edmonton, Carolina was 05-06.
I thought, oh, you're right. I apologize. I was thinking Tampa Bay was against Edmonton, and it was Calgary.
No.
Alberta teams just kind of ramble off to me, but it's just kind of like, you know, like this whole – the only teams that say get in and anything can happen are the teams that know they're not going to do anything, but they're going to maybe make – they're going to make the playoffs. They'll be out in round one or two, and, hey, we were in the tournament, and we made a couple extra $1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at what the Tampa Bay Lightning have done. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. Can you understand how long it took to build that team into what they are today? Can you realize how long?
Since 2008. Since 2007, because that's when they drafted Killorn.
They drafted, yeah. Well, Killorn was not, you know what I mean? But like, it's like Stamkos was in 08. Hedman was in 09. Like, that was 12 years ago. And it's taken them this long, and this team has, and the Tampa Bay Lightning have been a perennial Stanley Cup contender for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But it's taken them this long to actually win the tournament, win Absolutely. The greatest trophy on the face of the planet.
Yep.
Can we stop and wait for a second? Smell the roses, Montreal. Understand what happens here, okay? Just because maybe in 2 years you'll be really competitive and you'll give it a chance, that doesn't mean you're going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
It might take you 5 years of that window being open to really have a chance. But I'm sorry, in 5 years, Carey Price and Shea Weber are not going to be at the same level that they are right now. You're going to have to bring them out there on wheelchairs, for God's sakes. That's my point. The Montreal Canadiens are not a regular rebuilding, retooling team. Their two best players are 47 years old. So your window really isn't a regular window. Your window is the next 3 years.
Yep.
Good fucking luck.
Oh, of course.
Good luck.
So, going off of that, I'm just saying that.
Sorry, I
had my No. It's totally fine. But you're absolutely like, right.
Obviously, can we understand what's going like stop believing and just sticking your head in the sand and totally going by everything that this idiotic general manager tells you. He has failed at his job. This doesn't take 10 years to build a team, and you're still at the same fucking place than you were 10 years ago. It's infuriating.
I will say one thing about Tampa Bay, and we're talking about probably the best example when it comes to rostering a hockey team. It took them 12 years since drafting Steven Stamkos to get to that point. Obviously, I agree that, they made a Stanley Cup in 2015. You know, they made it to the conference finals in, I think, 2011, the year Boston won the Cup.
Yeah.
They've had their highs. They had a lot of great moments. A lot of the times they could have gone further if there weren't for injuries. But listen, this is a team that basically built through the draft. No matter where they were ranked in terms of draft position, they built through the draft. Yep. And you got to applaud them because 80% of their team are drafted players. And that's an incredible thing. And I'm also including undrafted free agents too, because that's
Yanni Gord,
Tyler Johnson.
Yep.
Like, you talk about two unheralded hockey players. Those are two great hockey players right there. Be that as it may, you know, we're talking about a GM who says build through the draft. Look at Tampa Bay's issue. Look at Tampa Bay's position. You know, yeah, they had, and this is a team that had Stamkos first overall, Hedman second overall, Drouin third overall. They traded him for Sergachev, but they still drafted him. They took Brett Connolly sixth overall. You know, that's a team that in 12 years drafted four times in the top four, in the top six. How are you, when you want to be a team that builds through the draft, you need to have those players that come out of nowhere, which is where you can look at your scouting, you question your scouting and all that stuff. Braden Point was in the third round. Nikita Kucherov was in the second round. Andre Vasilevsky
in the seventh.
Andre Pallad in the seventh. I'll even put Vasilevsky as the 19th pick overall. To me, that's a steal at 19.
Tyler Johnson undrafted. Yanni undrafted.
Exactly. You know, who else was there? There's you can even say Alex Killorn in the third round.
Yeah.
You could say Eric Chernak. You want to talk about pro scouting? He was packaged alongside Peter Budaj when they traded him from LA to Tampa. Eric Chernak.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mathieu Joseph, yep. Cedric Paquette.
Yep.
These are hockey players that...
Anthony Cirelli,
third round pick. But that's it. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm not even including guys that...
I can't name you three third round draft picks out of Montreal.
But Josh, I'll even take it one step further. There's even guys like Mitchell Stevens, yep. Taylor Radish. Yep.
They play a role.
They play a role. They're going to be on this team next year.
And let's not forget, right, okay? The Tampa Bay Lightning have never been shy of sacrificing futures to bring in immediate help.
Yes, exactly.
Think about what they paid to bring in Ryan McDonagh.
Yeah.
Think about what they did in when they traded Martin St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team.
Just look at this year. They traded two firsts to get Barkley Goudreau and Blake Coleman.
Two firsts for third to fourth line players. But they understood that that's what that team was missing. And they also, like we said, like I told you at the trade deadline, they valued cheap contracts signed next year.
Of course.
That was valued more to them than first round picks because they knew they weren't going to need first round talent.
Nope.
They needed grit.
Yep.
They needed sandpaper. They needed toughness. They needed work ethic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So Tampa Bay Lightning to me is a prime example of why you can't think that this is just going to take a couple years.
No, it wasn't close.
Their first Eastern Conference final was 9 years ago. Guy Boucher was their head coach.
Mm-hmm. Dwayne Rollison was their goalie.
That's why they didn't go much further than that, but
actually, fair play.
Dwayne Rollison played well when he's
in the playoffs.
He's dynamite. I know. Well, he was. But
I don't get it.
9 years. There was like that's almost a decade. And Montreal, like, let's say that, like, it starts now for Montreal, right? Like, let's say this is the year 2011 for the Tampa Bay Lightning equivalent for Montreal, right? Let's just say that. That's not going to work. Because I hate to tell you this, but in 7 years, or let's say five, or let's just say five years, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Carey Price is still under contract. Shea Weber is still under contract. Jeff Petrie still under contract. Shea Weber will be 40. Jeff Petrie 37. And Carey Price 38. And they will still be under contract. Weber will have 1 year left. Price will have 1 year left. And Petrie will be expiring. Anybody else worried about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Because in 5 years, I shudder to think what Shea Weber is going to look like. I shudder to think what Carey Price is going to look like. But you're still going to be paying them. right? They're Absolutely. Still going to be taking up just those three players, Weber, Petrie, Price, okay? That is
$23 million, not to say more. Close to $24, $25 million.
And they will no longer be the players that they are today. You are going to need that money. That's why your window is not open for the next 10 years. That's why your window is, you have to win with Carey Price, Jeff Petrie, and Shea Weber still being effective hockey players.
Which is
because
like
the
said,
day that they are no window. Longer. What's that?
It's a 3-year window.
Yeah.
To have them at an elite level.
Because the day they are no longer effective hockey players, you're done. Until those contracts come off your books.
Mm-hmm.
So that is all I say when I say stop shopping at Bargain Barn and treat yourself to a slightly more expensive trade. Because this team needs to win in the next 3 years. Needs to really compete. Like, this is not a, well, let's get in and hope to God something good happens for us type of team, okay? This
be top three in your be top three in your division for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
It gives you a chance.
Absolutely.
That's the difference here.
The goal should be being ahead of Boston, Tampa Bay, and Toronto. And we like to shit on Toronto as much as everybody. But in 3 to 4 years, I don't really know if you're going to see Toronto in that mark in that top three Atlantic seeds. You don't know. What is Detroit going to do in the next 3 years? What are the Ottawa Senators going to look like in the next 3 years? What are the Buffalo Sabres going to look like in the next 3 years?
Well, I'm more slightly less optimistic about Buffalo, but that's just me.
Absolutely. Not to mention what's going on in the Metropolitan Division.
Of course.
You're still going to have Washington. You're still going to have Pittsburgh. You're still going to have Columbus. You're still going to have Carolina more than likely.
You're still going to have the Rangers.
You're still going to have the Rangers.
Be a hell of a hockey team.
Rangers are going to be a hell of a hockey team. And the God Islanders knows, maybe Florida there. Might be able to get their heads out of their asses and do something worth a damn.
There's a lot of, it's this thing where, listen, we've spoken about this idea of trading for now and for the future. If that includes, you know, Mark Bergevin should not be afraid to give up a first round pick. Mark Bergevin should not be afraid to give up a second round pick. He was not afraid to do it when he acquired Jeff Petrie at the trade deadline. He was not afraid to do it when he acquired Thomas Vanek. I'm just saying that when you talk about, he has proven in the past that he's been willing to be aggressive and go out and get difference makers. You know, the Subban for Weber trade. He gave up a big asset, but he got a big asset in return. And he's kind of, and at this point, he's won that trade.
Absolutely.
He's look at the Petrie trade. You think Bergevin does that look like a bad trade on Bergevin's side? Absolutely not. The Thomas Vanek trade, even though it didn't work out towards the end of the season, towards the end of the playoff run, getting Thomas Vanek got you a top six or probably the best available winger at that time. And it cost you a prospect who never panned out in the NHL and a second round pick. Imagine what you can do with a first round pick with what you have so far when it comes to your young centers and the makeup of your team. That's the difference here. So instead of going out and get and being interested in bringing back Ilya Kovalchuk or being interested in bringing in Bobby Ryan, not a critique on both of them. They don't
Bobby
fit.
Bobby Ryan is not good for this team.
They don't fit what the Canadians need right now. And what the Canadians need right now is what we've been preaching about for the last 3 weeks or so, a big goal scorer on the left and right side. If it means you have to package Dano, so be it. Just re-sign Max Domi. If it means you have to trade Thomas Tatar, so be it. Use Dano to get an asset to replace Tatar. It's like, it shouldn't be that complicated. You get a major cap off your books for the upcoming season. Tom Sitar 4.8, Philip Dano 3 million. They're worth the investment. Teams are going to be interested in that. You're going to tell me a team like Winnipeg, just for sake of argument, would not want a $3 million centerman for next year due to Brian Little not being the player he used to be? It's like these little things, Josh, where you can easily replace them and easily make your team so much better, but it seems like it should be checkers instead of chess for Mark. I'd rather go into next year with Suzuki, Kakanyemi, and Domi as my top three centers than Dano replacing Domi. Not because I don't like the no. But I know Max Domi is going to bring more offense to the game. And I have more, and I have defensive forwards, mind you, on my roster already to make sure that Dano's
defensive ability,
defensive prowess, will not be lost. And hell, I can even put Nick Suzuki as my top penalty killer for the center position. Jake Evans, Suzuki, Lekkonen, Armia, Ryan Poehling, Paul Byron. I just named you pretty much Brendan half Gallagher. Of the team. Brendan Gallagher, they have fucking players. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, Mark Bergevin has to realize that at this given moment, if we're comparing Domi and Dano has far more value.
Yep.
Because of his one-year contract left, because of his defensive-minded ability, and because of the fact that, obviously, due to insufficient depth at the center position, he has close to 100 points in the last two seasons as the Canadiens' top centerman. He has value to which teams could be quote-unquote fooled by. And plus, he was voted sixth in the Selke Trophy. That goes a long way for a lot of teams. And quite frankly, I'd rather trade an asset at its highest value, knowing that he will not reach, he will not be a top two centerman for me next year.
Yeah.
So that I can address the most important pressing need that I need right now. It shouldn't be that complicated. And I'm hoping to God that you see something different from the Montreal Canadiens when it comes to the draft, when it comes to free agency. Just, I want to see a move where I'm shocked by it. I'm excited for it. And that I can come back next week and talk about it and be praising Bergevin.
Lambros, I want to see a move like I saw when the Montreal Canadiens traded for Jonathan Drouin. I saw when at that point, I remember the day of that trade, I saw a trade that gave a hefty price, but I was thrilled with the return. I was excited about Jonathan Drouin playing for the Montreal Canadiens. That type of where you're like, yes, we paid a lot, but I'm excited about what's coming into Montreal. Not like saying I want another Jonathan Drouin, but I want another trade where I'm like, wow, finally, we're the team trading for a top player. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm hoping.
Yeah.
And this is, and like, again, this is our Christmas for hockey fans. Absolutely. The NHL draft, the NHL free agency, it's our Christmas. And we're hoping to see something exciting that we can talk about next week with all of you. And obviously, we're going to talk about more that's going to happen, because I can assure you, and I was telling Josh off the air, this is the year where you don't know what to expect from anybody.
For sure.
And that's what makes it even more exciting.
Yes. Yes. Just quickly here, the Double Minor Hockey Podcast is proudly presented by the Belly Up Sports Network. Visit bellyupsports.com for all your sports-related content, including articles and various podcasts. The Belly Up Sports Network should be your go-to for much of your sports content. Again, visit bellyupsports.com. For more, while you're out there trolling around on the internet, make sure to follow the podcast on Twitter at Double Minor HB. While you're there, also, while you're following us, we'd also like to invite you to send us your suggestions for future show topics, questions, comments, and or predictions by either tweeting at us or sending us a DM. Lambros and I'd be more than happy to talk about anything hockey related you might have in mind. It would also make our jobs of preparing for shows so much easier. You can also visit bellyupsports.com, that is bellyupsports.com/double-minor-hockey-podcast to catch up on any episode in the past. And you will also find links to where you'll find the podcast on the Twitter account. And so, Lambros, what are we today? Thursday. The NHL draft starts on Tuesday evening. Mm-hmm. I wanted to... I'll take this opportunity also to say that we are scheduled to have a friend of the show, Marco, return to the show next week to have a post-draft analysis conversation. So very much look forward to having him on the show for that. But what I wanted to do with you really quickly is just kind of take a couple minutes to look at three or four hockey players that will more than likely be available around the 16th overall selection and who might be of interest to the Montreal Canadiens. Mm-hmm. I have open in front of me the recent mock draft that the Athletic and Corey Pronman released this morning. some interesting developments there. And I also have open in front of me Marco's top 62, I believe it is. Yes, final top 62 rankings of the 2020 NHL draft available players. I do encourage you to check that out. You can head over to Marco's website, scrimmageandstats.com, and you will easily find it there. Do make sure to check that out for your pre-draft content. So if I were to start, Lambros, with The Athletic and Corey Pronman's mock draft that he released this morning on Thursday, I will just quickly, I'll give you players from 14 to 18. Okay, I'll give you just kind of who went in that selection. At 14th overall, he has the Edmonton Oilers taking Dylan Holloway. At 15, the Maple Leafs taking Rodion Amirov. The Montreal Canadiens at 16 taking Caden Gool. 17, the Chicago Blackhawks take Dawson Mercer. And 18, the New Jersey Devils take Braden Schneider. I just want to look at, of those, what did I say, six players? Five players? Who might be of interest to you?
Oh.
You could also go off the board. Who you think might be available at 16. Because I don't necessarily agree with Pronman's mock draft here. I don't think the Montreal Canadiens are going to be drafting a defenseman at 16. I'll tell you that right off the bat.
I agree with that. I think it's going to be the usual suspects for who the Canadiens are going to target that we've been hearing for the last few months now. I think Dawson Mercer is going to be one of the guys that they're going to target right off the bat. I think Hendrix Lapierre is going to be considered. I think Maverick Bourque. The only one that I see topping all those three, if he's available, would be Seth Jarvis.
And that's not going to be available.
Well, again, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know. But
he's in that range, right? Yes. Between 12 to 17, he's going to be in that range. I said to you off the air that the biggest wild card will be the goalie, Yaroslav Askarov, because he could range as high as number 5, and he could range as low as number 12, right?
Was it 13?
13. Yeah. So you don't know what to expect with that. I think that's going to be the player who, if he's drafted somewhere in between that range, someone's going to drop and it's going to lead to a domino effect.
I think we also have to factor in that there's always 3 to 4 defensemen, right, that go between 9 and 17, if not more than that. And this year, you're looking at Sanderson and Drysdale as the top defensemen. And and then, like, I look at Pronman, he has a defense, Sanderson going 5 and Drysdale going 6. And then the next defenseman taken is 10 spots later with Montreal at 16. That is not going to happen.
No.
You're going to see at least 2 other defensemen taken between Sanderson and Drysdale and, let's say, picks 16, 17. You're going to see at least 2 defensemen in the 9 to 15 range.
Oh, for sure.
Those 2 defensemen, which forwards slide down a bit more, right? That's where you look at, is it Seth Jarvis, potentially? Is it
Jack Quinn,
potentially? And that's another thing, too. I would like to see Montreal maybe look at trading up in this year's draft.
Mm-hmm.
If you see that a Seth Jarvis and a Jack Quinn are starting to slide a little bit, maybe you take advantage of your 3 second-round picks to package that up and to look at moving up in the first round. Maybe you look at that. I would be interested in seeing that. I would also be very interested. I think there's one other name that needs to be mentioned. I can't remember if you mentioned it or not. I apologize. I would be very interested in looking at Jacob Perreault.
I did not mention him, but
out of Sarnia in the OHL.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very interested in seeing that potentially happening. I like the Dawson Mercer option as well. If he is available, I think Dawson Mercer could be a good pickup for the Montreal Canadiens. But all that to say, and going back to what you were saying earlier, Lambros, is that nobody knows how this draft is going to unfold. there's just so many potential wrinkles, right? There's just like, you don't see, it's just such a forward heavy draft that somebody, at least one team, is going in the 9 to 15 range is going to reach for a defenseman. We saw it at last year's draft. Once one defenseman went, it was just kind of like bing, 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 right?
An onslaught, yeah.
It was an onslaught of defensemen taken. Because teams might reach for a defenseman not wanting to lose out on that option, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll be something to keep an eye on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I mean, the draft is when you all the mock drafts kind of go right into the garbage because no one knows
I will be very interested to see Bob McKenzie's final rankings.
Yeah,
because that is historically as close to the draft that we normally see.
Of course. Yes, exactly. And again, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all pans out. Hopefully for the Canadians, they end up getting a chance to maybe pick someone that they're interested in. I wouldn't be surprised also if they trade out of the pick, number 16. Like we said, probably to go out and get immediate talent. And, you know, we've said it before. They have 3 second-round picks. They can even trade back into the first round if they're interested in a certain hockey player. If they're interested to draft whoever it may be, you know, for example, you mentioned Jacob Perreault. If he starts dropping due to his apparently it's attitude problems and motivational issues, hey, you know what? You can take a chance on his talent in the late first round. It's a great option for them. I do know this is going to be one of the deepest drafts in years. Montreal, I can say, are in a position where it favors them to acquire a lot of great talent and a lot of great depth for their prospect pool and for them in general. So I'm really expecting and I really believe they're going to go down the route of getting wingers this year, unless obviously a defenseman that is high up on their board is still available. But the track record of how they've went about their drafts the last few years, you know, the Kotkaniemi draft, I think they drafted 8 centermen that year.
Yeah.
Last year's draft, they went high on defensemen. Took Struble, they took Norlander with their second round picks. They projected and they took a lot of defensemen on the left side. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do this year. I'm hoping they go out and get scoring wingers. There's one guy I really like in the later rounds or in the mid or second and third rounds, mind you. Alex Tuck's brother, who...
Luke, is that right?
Luke, I think it's yeah. Luke Tuck. Luke Tuck looks, you know, when we're talking about big potential scoring wingers, hey, if he's available in the second round, might as well take him with one of your 3 second-round picks. You know, I'm not going to act like a scout now, but it's something to keep an eye on and definitely... make sure that they take advantage of this opportunity. You know, they have the one thing I can guarantee you, Josh, though, is they have picks 47 and 48. One of those are being traded either up or down. I've never seen the Canadiens take picks with back-to-back players, with back-to-back draft picks. So I'm just really excited to see how this draft unfolds. I really am. And I'm hoping it's for the better. It's for the best, because if they don't do anything with this and if they take fucking like Braden Schneider or Caden Gooley, it's going to be a long
riot.
It's going to be a riot and it's going to be like, really? Unless he has something up his sleeve.
Yeah, I know. I'm very much looking forward to Tuesday evening to see the first round of the draft and how that's going to fall down. How that's
and
change.
Is Wednesday during the day?
I believe so, because it's going to be rounds 2 to 7.
Yeah.
I think it starts at 11.
Okay, that's good.
I think. Before we move on, Lambros, a kind word to our friends in the United States. We invite you to check out PropMe. PropMe is a social wagering platform catered to the everyday sports fan. It offers peer-to-peer betting marketplace for social wagering. It is an all sports betting platform, which includes esports. Apparently, that's a sport now. A company. PropMe, a company that leads in social wagering innovation. Join PropMe on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store today. Sign up and join the movement. As I mentioned, unfortunately, only available to our friends south of the border. Also, make sure to rate and or review this episode on the all-new Hubble podcast app. This is the first listening app that allows you to rate and review individual podcast episodes. That's Hubble, H-U-B-L. Their logo is a telescope on a red background. All you have to do is look for it on the App Store, the Google Play Store today, and give them a follow on social media at Hubble Podcast App. Episode level ratings and reviews are game changers for both you, the listeners, and us podcast content creators. They give us better feedback so that we can continue to make their show better, and they help new listeners know where to start on new podcasts. As fans, we all know that you want to support us as much as possible, and we so do greatly appreciate that. However, please do keep the ratings and reviews honest. We would love perfect ratings, but that isn't going to help anyone improve. Lambros, let's take a quick look around the Montreal Canadiens off-season outlook, continuing this series that we've had the past couple of weeks on the podcast, as maybe I will say out of the blue potential targets for the Montreal Canadiens.
Mm-hmm.
You give me three names. I'm going to start with the two least shocking ones. Craig Smith, who is an unrestricted free agent this offseason. Phil Kessel, the winger out of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, yeah, I can't wait to hear your reasoning on. Steven. Yes, that's right. Steven
Stamkos.
Stamkos.
Okay, listen. Take into consideration the Montreal Canadiens, the Tampa Bay Lightning's position, right? You know, they just won the Stanley Cup, but they have an abundance of RFAs to re-sign, specifically Cirelli, Sergachev, and Cernak, right? Can we agree on that?
Yep.
That's their plan. They want to keep those three players. Given his injury issues, given his contract, I'm saying, if I'm the Montreal Canadiens and we're talking about getting top-tier talent, and we're talking about this idea where they need to upgrade offensively, why not target someone like Steven Stamkos? You know,
That would definitely help the Tampa Bay Lightning clear out cap space.
It would definitely help the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it will also help the Montreal Canadiens as well. You know, the Montreal Canadiens are not just if the Montreal Canadiens acquire Steven Stamkos, a contract is going to go back to Tampa. You know, it's not going to be Montreal just taking on the $8.5 million without getting rid of, for example, getting rid of a contract like a combination of a Brett Kulak and an Arturi Lehkonen, for example. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be that 2-for-1, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
If Steven Stamkos clears when it comes to his physical, his injury history, if he comes into training camp and he's 100% healthy, if he's fit to play starting at the beginning of the season, you know, that's the type of player where I can sit here and say, regardless of what they give up, which I don't think is going to be as humongous as it may sound, that's the type of player the Canadiens need on this team. Because I would have no problem putting Steven Stamkos as my number one center and then Nick Suzuki on the right wing. You know, that's like you improve your team immediately. Will it cost you a first round pick? Maybe. Will it cost you maybe some depth on your team? Yeah. But at the end of the day, we're talking, and this is according to Marco, the Montreal Canadiens, when they put everybody back into their original spots, which is in Laval, they'll have a projected $12 million in cap space. Steven Stamkos takes 8.5. If you give Brett Kulak, if you give Lehkonen, it's basically you're basically accumulating close to $5 million in cap space. You know, with that $7 million, you can still improve to replace your to replace Arturi Lehkonen, to replace other positions. But when we're talking about the talent, when we're talking about the impact and quality, he fits the bill. And he'd be available if you come in with the right offer. You're doing Tampa a favor, but you're also improving your team right away as well. Signed for 4 more years at 8.5, Josh, I think you can agree with me. That's not a remotely difficult contract. He's still only 30 years old. I don't know. To me, it's you're looking at a difference maker. You're looking at an elite hockey player when he's healthy. I think the only question remains is the health issue. It has nothing to do with how talented he is. For fuck's sake, he only played 3 minutes and he scored a goal in his only appearance in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that's someone who I would definitely keep an eye on.
It's very interesting. I had not Thank thought you. Of that.
Let me ask you, does it make sense what I'm saying?
I think a lot of things that you say make sense.
Well, I'm talking about like the background on acquiring Stamkos.
Look, I look at it. Could the Tampa Bay Lightning say, well, would we rather lose one player than four or five?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Because moving Steven Stamkos' $8.5 million alleviates a lot of their salary cap problems.
Absolutely.
And I think Braden Point has proven that he's capable of being a leader offensively on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And that might allow you to keep both Cirelli and Sergachev and even Chernak, right? If you do make that extra move of, let's say you do sacrifice a Killorn and or a Johnson also, then you're not in salary cap purgatory completely. So no, I understand your reasoning behind that. Then there's a whole other feasability aspect of it. Steven Stamkos has a full no move clause. How's that going to mm-hmm. work? And all that kind of stuff. But you can still ask the questions.
Yeah.
You can still make the phone calls.
I'm saying he's a perfect player. Obviously, going after a physical and making sure he's healthy. He's the guy that I would say I'm willing to give up something to get him. Because I still know what he can bring. Now that he's a Stanley Cup winner, even though he didn't participate in the playoffs apart from one game, he's still a Stanley Cup winner. He's still an elite hockey player. He still can perform and execute in the NHL. And given the fact that the Canadiens are, in a way, wanting to compete and wanting to kind of implement and mix their youth with elite talent, he's a perfect example. He's a perfect player to help your team do that. You know, Steven Stamkos to be with Suzuki, Domi, Kotkaniemi, to reunite him with Jonathan Drouin, that might help Drouin also. You know, we don't know that. You know, Jonathan Drouin can be the playmaker and Stamkos can be the goal scorer. There's so many ways that you could look at this and say, it makes a lot of sense for both hockey teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tampa only has $10 million in cap space from what I remember entering this free agency, and it's not enough to sign.
Although the big three RFAs that they have.
The big three RFAs, yeah. Exactly.
Cirelli, Chernak, and Sergachev.
You know, getting rid of Stamkos at 8.5, hey, you know what? It gives you more flexibility to potentially, and if you, for example, trade, which I think they will, one of Yanni Gourde or Tyler Johnson regardless, they're still going to get something in return for one of those players.
Yeah.
They're going to get a return for Stamkos when it comes to roster players. But I think the biggest verdict for Julien Brisebois is his three RFAs are going to be brought back.
Yeah.
So that's my mindset on this, where even though you're trading your captain, if you still want to compete for an NHL Cup, you just prove to everybody that even though that without Steven Stamkos, you could still win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
It's not a critique on him. They would have won it in four games if he was there. But the point is, you're able to play hockey without Steven Stamkos. You don't have to rely on him as much.
Yeah.
And that's a big, big opportunity for Brisebois to see that, what can I get for him and how can I make sure I bring all my guys back?
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just an idea.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of those.
I try.
That's good. Lambros, I will let you go. You have class in the not-too-distant future, and gotta eat before then.
Yeah.
So I will say this. I will say right up before, just before we get out, I would just like to send a congratulations to Alexander Romanov.
Yeah, congratulations, Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov, there you go.
I guess, I mean...
A very young man who seems to be fully bought in on the future, on his future life. So yeah. Good for him.
Congratulations.
Makes me feel old.
On your marriage?
Is it marriage or engagement?
I think it was, you know what? It might be engagement. You're right.
One of the two. But congratulations nonetheless. Very much looking forward to seeing what Romanov is going to do on the ice for the Montreal Canadiens in the future.
Absolutely.
And before we get out of here, I just want to say that if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and a review. This will help other Habs fans find the podcast, and it will help us tune the show to what you guys like to hear. You can also find a link to a feedback form in the episode description below. On that note, have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the NHL entry draft. Next week on Wednesday, Lambros, you and I will be back on our usual time recording, and an episode will be dropped, as always, next Friday morning. On that note, have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe out there, enjoy your families, and we will see you all next week.
I also wanted to give a shout out, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning for winning the Stanley Cup. Congratulations. Absolutely. To Victor Hedman winning the Conn Smythe.
Very well deserved, Conn Smythe.
Very well deserved. And to everybody else, have a good night, everyone.